Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, March 27, 2020. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. overtakes China for the most coronavirus cases worldwide.
Global deaths from the pandemic eclipse 24,000, while infections surpass 500,000.
U.S. futures slump as the dollar heads for its worst week in more than a decade.
China is willing to help the U.S. in the fight against the coronavirus. Plus, President Trump says he'll send off a Navy medical ship to arrive in Manhattan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Ahead in sports, baseball had its virtual opening day. The Mets and Yankees played a big part. And the world will miss Harlem Globetrotter Curly Neal.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are lower this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 41 points, Dow futures down 333, NASDAQ futures down 110, the DAX in Germany is down 1.8%, CAC in Paris down 2.8%, and the FTSE 100 is down 3.7%. Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 3.9%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 23 32nds, yield 0.76%, yield on the 2-year 0.27%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.3%, 30 cents at $22.91 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.3% on $22.30 at $16.37.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1015 against the dollar. The yen 108.89. Nathan.
Karen, the rescue package passed by the Senate goes to the House today, and President Trump is applauding Congress for the bill.
I want to thank Democrats and Republicans in the Senate for unanimously passing the largest financial relief package in American history.
As money makes its way to big and small business, plus millions of Americans, the president is focused on how and when to restart the economy. The White House Coronavirus Task Force will present him a range of options this weekend.
We have to get back to work. Our people want to work. They want to go back. They have to go back. And we're going to be talking about dates. We're going to be talking with a lot of great professionals.
The president says officials are collecting data for a program that would rate counties for their risk of spreading the virus and provide corresponding guidance about what steps citizens in those areas should take.
Infections in the U.S. now number 85,000, surpassing China for the most cases worldwide.
55% of all cases and 55% of all new cases continue out of the New York metro area.
Deborah Birx is an immunologist advising Vice President Mike Pence. Despite the sharp increase in cases, she says worst-case projections for the outbreak are not supported by what we've seen in China, South Korea, and Italy.
Of the 550,000 tests, you can do the math, but we're still running somewhere about 14% overall. That means 86% of the people with significant symptoms, because remember, you had to have a fever and symptoms to get tested at this point. So still 86%. Are negative. These are really important facts for the American people.
Birx has criticized an Imperial College in London study, saying 2 million Americans could die from the disease. She says projections for large parts of the population to be infected are not supported by actual experience with the outbreak.
Well, after a three-day rally, U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are lower today. The S&P 500 gained nearly 400 points since Monday's close. This morning, S&P futures are down 40 points. David Kostin is chief U.S. equity strategist at Goldman Sachs.
We are still in the first quarter, and we haven't even begun the second quarter, which is likely to be the most significant contraction that we've really ever seen in a single quarter. So if you think about it sequentially, we've got earnings down 15% year over year in the first quarter, down 123%. So literally, there will be a loss in the second quarter, year over year growth declining around 21% in the third quarter, and then we're up in the fourth quarter by 25%. So that's the general sequence. And that's generally the path of the equity market that I anticipate.
Kostin expects the S&P 500 to slump to as low as 2,000 before ending the year at 3,000.
Meantime, the dollar is heading for its worst week since 2009. After a two-month run-up in the greenback, we've seen broad-based selling. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live now with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. Investors have been turning to the dollar as the ultimate haven. The currency strengthened 8% in the prior 2 weeks. So what's changed? Among other things, the Fed stepped in and expanded currency swap lines to 9 more central banks. Priya Misra is head of global head of rate strategy at TD Securities.
Over time, we do think that the dollar is likely to be headed lower just because we're in this for the longer haul and we don't see this V-shaped recovery. So then it's harder to make that case for higher rates in the U.S.
Still, next week, we'll see a flow of economic indicators. And if the data turn out to be bad, it could drive demand for dollars once again. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And we get more insight into U.S. monetary policy today when we speak with Robert Kaplan and Raphael Bostic. Tune in for exclusive interviews with the Dallas and Atlanta Fed presidents. It's coming up at 8 and 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time this morning right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television.
Meantime, let's give you a global update on the coronavirus pandemic. Infections worldwide have surpassed 500,000. The U.S. has 85,000 cases. Italy has 80,000. Next on the list is Spain with 57,000 infections. Global fatalities number 24,000, while 122,000 have recovered. Here in the U.S., deaths have eclipsed 1,200.
As those grim numbers grow, U.S. stock futures slump, but in Asia overnight, equity saw another day of gains. Joining us now with details is Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index gained more than 2% to notch up its best weekly win since October 1998. Japan's Nikkei 225 rose 3.4% Friday to notch up a 17% gain for the week. Markets rose more modestly in Hong Kong, China and South Korea, while Australian stocks were dumped. The ASX 200 down more than 5%, paring its weekly gain to just half of 1%. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. S&P futures lower this morning, down 51 points. Dow futures down 423. NASDAQ futures down 148. 10-year Treasury up 22.32, yield 0.77%. And NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up 1.25% at $22.88 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good Friday morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Reinforcements have arrived at a New York City hospital labeled Ground Zero of the coronavirus pandemic in the U.S. after doctors described dire conditions and 13 patients died in a 24-hour period. Mayor Bill de Blasio acknowledged what has become evident.
Elmhurst Hospital in Queens is right now the epicenter within the epicenter.
40 additional ventilators were sent, along with 56 additional staff members. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state desperately needs ventilators.
We have approved a technology that allows one ventilator to serve two patients, what they call splitting, which is where you add a second set of tubes to a ventilator to do two patients. It's not ideal, but we believe it's workable.
However, Dr. David Eisenman of the UCLA says several professional organizations have openly advised against the practice.
They said that it's clearly unproven, that it's potentially unsafe, and they even recommended that if it's going to be done, you bring an ethicist in to help you think about it, because it could end up doing more harm than good.
A Navy medical ship, the Comfort, is expected to be sent off from Virginia by President Trump tomorrow and arrive in New York Monday. Today, Los Angeles is eagerly awaiting the arrival of the U.S. Navy medical ship, Mercy. China is willing to offer help to the U.S. in controlling the coronavirus. According to the Xinhua news agency, President Xi Jinping told U.S. President Trump in a phone call, relations between China and the U.S. are at an important juncture and cooperation is the only right choice. Doctors are hopeful the coronavirus will fade as weather across the country warms up. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
We are hoping, though it may not happen, that we will see that impact of warmer weather on bringing the infection rate down. But you can't guarantee it because this is a brand new virus.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. It is 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. It may not have felt the same to baseball fans. For others, it was just what they needed, as Thursday was Major League Baseball's virtual opening day. In lieu of the regular schedule being postponed because of the global coronavirus pandemic, MLB Network, cable providers, and various streaming services teamed up to bring all 30 markets what they felt was one of their franchise's proudest moments.
Leading by three as Bowen hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Fox Sports' Joe Buck on the call. Who could forget 2003 current skipper Aaron Boone launching the Yankees into the World Series and, more importantly, breaking the Red Sox hearts again. Yankees eventually fell to Josh Beckett and the Florida Marlins in the Fall Classic. Baseball experts, commentators, and even agents have suggested what they think baseball needs. Keith Olbermann thought of a 32-game regular season schedule, which teams would play their divisional opponents eight times. And agent Scott Boras even suggested World Series games on Christmas Day. Commissioner Rob Manfred earlier in the week offered the best-case scenario, baseball in May, depending on the fans' safety, which comes first. In the basketball and sports world, lost a legend on Thursday. Fred Curly Neal, Harlem Globetrotter, has passed away.
The Globetrotters have been wonderful to me, you know, to travel around the world, you know, go to 97 countries. You know, it's been quite educational, too. So I wish the best for the new Globetrotters, which they're doing everything possible. Everybody needs to see the show because there's a lot of fun and laughter.
Neal was known for some of the flashiest dribbling the world has ever seen. He died at his home in Houston. He was 77. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. And tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak with DraftKings CEO Jason Robins to find out how you run an online sports betting site when there's no sports. Tune in tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio, or download the Bloomberg Business of Sports podcast. S&P futures lower by 46 points now. Dow futures down 370. NASDAQ futures lower by 135 points after the three-day surge for equities. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by the New York Community Trust, a public charity working with generous New Yorkers to make an impact on the issues they care about. To set up your fund through the New York Community Trust, visit nycommunitytrust.org.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are slipping as investors catch their breath following the first three-day rally in global shares since mid-February. Treasuries are climbing. The dollar is edging higher. The Stoxx Europe 600 index was led lower by banks and miners. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 41 points this morning. Dow futures down 354. NASDAQ futures down 124. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 19 30 seconds, yield 0.78%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.27%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 20 cents at $22.80 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1.3% or $21.60 at $16.38.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1016 against the dollar. British pound 1.2188. And the yen 108.98. The VIX at 65.91. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Washington is about to deliver unprecedented legislation to speed up the help to individuals and businesses as the coronavirus pandemic takes a devastating toll on the U.S. economy and a healthcare system straining to keep up. The House is set to pass the sprawling $2.2 trillion measure this morning after an extraordinary 96-zip Senate vote late Wednesday. Chinese President Xi Jinping told his counterpart, Donald Trump, after weeks of rising tensions, China is willing to offer help to the U.S. in controlling the coronavirus. The 2020 Atlantic hurricane season is a little over 2 months away. However, one expert is already predicting an above-average season. Former Harlem Globetrotters legend Fred Curly Neal has died. The dribbling wizard played for the Globetrotters from 1963 through 1985. Curly Neal was 77. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this Friday morning by Dean Kernet, CEO of Macro Risk Advisors. Good to speak with you this morning, Dean, as we watch the bit of a pullback now following the three-day surge we've seen in stocks this week, one of the fastest surges in the history of the U.S. markets. What do you make of the action this morning, and do you see something of a divergence between what we're seeing in markets and the obvious economic toll this coronavirus is taking?
Well, thanks for having me. Bear market rallies, of course, can be incredibly violent. You get the speed and the just sheer velocity of the sell-off that we experienced in the last couple of weeks, and this type of action is bound to happen. I do think there are some fundamental reasons for a little bit of optimism, and that is just simply the kitchen sink, both from the Fed and from the White House and Congress have been thrown at this problem. It's just unknowable, of course, where things are going, but at least there is a substantial amount of stimulus both to the real economy and then also on the financial side. At my firm, Macro Risk Advisors, we tend to study asset prices, volatility, the VIX. And this was a case very quickly where the sheer unknowable outcome on the economic side became, really was in the midst of becoming a financial crisis. I mean, really did quickly become that. And I think the Fed's action, specifically on the corporate bond and credit side, has done a pretty good job. It's probably too early to say, we're out of the woods. I don't think you want to do that. But there is an unfreezing of certain risk metrics that we look at on the risk side that has got a little bit of a reason for optimism. But I do think it's too early to be, fully confident that we're out of the woods.
Now, we do see the VIX coming down from its highs, but still at pretty elevated levels at close to 66 on the VIX index. What do you think needs to be done to get the fear gauges to a little bit more moderation?
Right. So there's a number of drivers of the VIX, and the primary driver is simply the level of realized volatility in the S&P. And for that, you can look at your handy HVG screen on Bloomberg, and that's going to give you the standard deviation of the returns. And that was running as high as over a five-day period, got up to 177. So just to put that into context, the previous crisis, the financial crisis of 2008, got only up to 125. So the intensity of the moves, we had three straight days where the S&P experienced a move of 9% or more. Two were down 9%, and one was up 9%. Yesterday was up 6%. I mean, these are just gigantic, gigantic moves. And so they justify a VIX in the 80s, frankly. So 65 really isn't that high. But the second thing I think that's a little harder to measure and difficult to appreciate is just the capital that's available to buy and sell volatility. So there's an ecosystem of strategies and investors that spend their time speculating on volatility. And the losses that folks have experienced based on this just, again, spike in realized volatility without precedent, the losses have been reported on Bloomberg and other news wires. There have been investors that have had to shutter their doors very quickly. So the amount of risk-bearing capital that's in the system itself, able to take a view that the vol is too high and is going to come back down, that is severely impaired. And so what you're seeing is the VIX itself is moving around a dramatic amount because the capital that's there to, kind of keep it in a well-behaved range is just it's impaired. It's really not there as much as it was, even a month ago.
We only have less than a minute left here. Do you see the rise in equities, the three-day surge, having a lasting effect?
I think we retest the lows. I don't think you have to be a hero to say that. It's just the market's so volatile. It would be unusual if we had just reached the lows. I do think we've seen the highs in vol. I don't think we go back to 83 VIX. A quick corollary, again, back to the great financial crisis, VIX peaked in November of 2008 at 80. 3 or 4 months later, the market was down 12%, but the VIX was 30 points lower. So the high in vol, I think, is in. I don't think the low in prices are in. If you ask me if we are higher at the end of the year, again, just given how much stimulus and Fed action has been thrown at this thing, I do think we're higher at the end of the year. It's just going to be incredibly choppy.
Thanks, Dean. Good talking with you this morning. That's Dean Kernitz, CEO at Macro Risk Advisors. S&P futures right now are lower by 44 points. Dow futures down 382. NASDAQ futures minus 140. And the VIX is at 65.79. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on this Friday morning. And Daybreak is brought to you by Withum, forward-thinking, technology-driven advisory and accounting firm, helping clients be in a position of strength in today's modern business landscape. Visit Withum.com to learn more.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated advisory firms and broker-dealers rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. After a three-day rally, U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are lower today. The rescue package passed by the Senate goes to the House today as global cases of COVID-19 surpass 500,000. Priya Misra is global head of rate strategy at TD Securities.
So you've got this dynamic of how long will it last? I think that we don't know, but my sense is the market's pricing in a fairly short duration of this weakness. And then how effective can the stimulus be? Because we're finally going to get checks given to people. If you're stuck at home, you can't really spend it.
In the meantime, the dollar is heading for its worst week since 2009. After a two-month run-up in the greenback, we're seeing broad-based selling. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live now with details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, investors had been hoarding dollars as the ultimate haven. Now it seems they're happy to sell. Traders point to a confluence of reasons ranging from less stress in funding markets to the repatriation of funds as the quarter ends and the worsening coronavirus outbreak here in the U.S. The dollar Bloomberg dollar index has weakened 3.5% this week, pairing gains of more than 8% the prior 2 weeks. In New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The latest numbers from President Trump and the White House Coronavirus Task Force show a large increase of cases in New York. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the U.S. now has more infections than China.
And that is the most in the world, President Donald Trump at his daily briefing.
No, I think it's a tribute to our testing. You know, number one, you don't know what the numbers are in China.
And he repeated over and over that the U.S. needs to get back to work. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Now let's get a global update on the pandemic. The U.S. has 85,000 cases, Italy with 80,000, and next on the list is Spain with 57,000 infections. Global fatalities, number 24,000, while 122,000 have recovered. Here in the U.S., deaths have crossed 1,200.
Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are lower this morning, down 56 points. Dow futures down 476 and NASDAQ futures down 167. The DAX in Germany is down 2.2%. 10-year Treasury up 25 32nds, yield 0.76%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.26%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 6 cents at $22.66 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio called Elmhurst Hospital in Queens the epicenter within the epicenter. Within the 24-hour period, 13 people died at the hospital. De Blasio says additional ventilators and personnel have been sent to the hospital that has been hit hard by the coronavirus. De Blasio also says public health officials are doing everything they can to make sure facilities don't reach capacity.
That 20,000 number that once seemed so impressive, now it's only a part of what we need to deal with the coronavirus. Our goal is to triple the number of hospital beds in this city by May. Now, that's an extraordinarily difficult goal.
The number of cases in New York is approaching 22,000, and the NYPD says a member of the department is the first to die from COVID-19. The victim was a custodial assistant at police headquarters who served the department for 14 years. A Navy medical ship, the Comfort, is expected to be sent off from Virginia, by President Trump tomorrow and arrive in New York on Monday.
I told Governor Cuomo that the ship will be arriving at New York Harbor on Monday. I think I'm going to go out and I'll kiss it goodbye.
Global News, 24 hours a day. I'm Mike LaBar. My apologies. Back to you.
No problem, Michael. Thanks. We'll check back with you again shortly. It is now 5:34 on Wall Street. Let's get the Bloomberg NBC Sports update now. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Baseball fans were treated to the next best thing to opening day. Virtual opening day on Thursday in lieu of the regularly scheduled one. MLB Network, along with cable providers and streaming services, teamed up to replay 30 games of fan favorites and monumental wins in each franchise's history.
It's almost like Greinke's giving him another look by pitching in the stretch. The 3-2 is driven to right. That ball is gone. Daniel Murphy has broken the tie here in the sixth. It is 3-2 Mets.
That's Ernie Johnson and Mets great Ron Darling as the Mets took out the favorites, the Dodgers, in L.A. to advance in Game 5. They were playing for Ruben Tejada, who had his leg broken by a still-disputed dirty slide from Chase Utley. Mets then beat the Cubs to move to the World Series before falling to the Royals in five games. MLB Players Association and the league produced a stoppage of work agreement that outlined the right to shorten the number of rounds in the next two drafts and also pushing back the international signing periods through 2021. And golf, the New York Post reporting that the U.S. Open will be pushed back from June until possibly September, but it will remain at Winged Foot. And chances are, if you love or even like basketball, you've seen the Harlem Globetrotters put on a show.
Curly Neal about to go into his dribbling act, and that's Jimmy Hebron against him, and they've picked on him all day. Look at Curly.
That's Curly Neal.
Howard Cosell on the call of the late, great Fred Curly Neal. His dribbling skills and set shot dazzled fans worldwide for years. He's passed away at the age of 77 at his home in Houston. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Okay, Rob, thank you. It's 5:36 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the race for a COVID-19 cure. Also in this week's issue, how the extent of the outbreak took Wall Street by surprise. Max Abelson wrote that story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
Wall Street seems to have this ability to look around corners and to make money from the ability to predict what's next. And what our reporting showed is that just did not happen here.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio, or watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the state needs to break the back of the coronavirus before discussing any potential date of reopening and sending people back to work. Appearing on MSNBC, he said sending people back to work too early would throw gasoline on the fire. New York Postmates food delivery drivers and possibly thousands of other gig workers can receive unemployment benefits at a time of historic job losses. The development follows a ruling by the state's highest court that they are company employees. Postmates and other platform companies like Uber and Lyft have long said their workers are self-employed entrepreneurs rather than employees. In what is likely to be the most optimistic statewide labor report for some time, the Connecticut Department of Labor reported Thursday a net job gain of 4,000 last month compared to January. The state unemployment rate fell below 4%. That is your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thanks. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that Cargill may be the first example of a major U.S. firm skipping public disclosure of its earnings amid the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Florida state employees are getting free access to telehealth services and flu shots as part of the state's plan to slow the spread of the coronavirus.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about Tesla slashing staffing at its Nevada battery factory due to the coronavirus pandemic.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors is delaying models and cutting executive pay.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Now, some other stories we're following. Volkswagen's production shutdown is costing $2.2 billion every week. The world's largest automaker says sales outside China have effectively come to a standstill. CEO Herbert Diess says VW might be able to endure the shutdown for months, but not indefinitely. And in the world of finance, Goldman Sachs has scored a partial victory in its battle over gender discrimination. A judge says Goldman can force more than 1,000 women who are suing the bank into arbitration. Almost 700 women are part of a class action lawsuit claiming Goldman let managers make biased decisions on pay. Futures deepening their losses after a record three-day surge for equities in the U.S. S&P futures are down 55 points now. Dow futures lower by 476. NASDAQ futures a loss of 160 points on this Friday. The 10-year is up. 26/32 yield 0.76%, 2-year treasury yield 0.25%, and the yield on a 30-year treasury note is at 1.35%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport Land Rover. Above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are slipping as investors catch their breath following the first three-day rally in global shares since mid-February. Treasuries are climbing. The dollar is edging higher. The Stocks Europe 600 index is being led lower by real estate and travel shares. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 55 points, Dow futures down 461, NASDAQ futures down 162, the DAX in Germany is down 1.9%, 10-year Treasury up 24/32 yield 0.76%, the yield on the 2-year 0.26%, NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% or 14 cents at $22.45 a barrel, COMEX gold is down 1.2% or $19.50 at $16.40.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1006 against the dollar, British pound, 1.2211, and the yen, 108.82, the VIX at 66.54. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the United States surpassed China as the country with the highest number of confirmed COVID-19 cases. There are close to 86,000 cases in the U.S., with almost 1,300 deaths in the nation. Washington is about to deliver legislation to speed help to individuals and businesses as the coronavirus pandemic takes a devastating toll on the U.S. economy and a healthcare system straining to keep up. The House is set to pass the sprawling $2.2 trillion measure this morning. Former Harlem Globetrotters legend Fred Curley Neal has died. The dribbling wizard played for the Globetrotters from 1963 through 1985. Curley Neal was 77. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's coming up at 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Good morning. I'm John Tucker. But following the first three-day rally in global shares since mid-February, we have equity index futures this morning all down about 2% right now. NASDAQ, Dow E-minis, S&P 500 E-mini futures, as well as the Stoxx 600 in Europe in the red. Joining us now, Brian Levitt, investment strategist at Invesco Advisors. Brian, thanks for being with us. Let me start off by asking you, what are the risk metrics that you look at, and what are they flashing right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to watch. Obviously, we're all looking at the number of cases, so we need to see the number of cases start to slow, and we're not there yet, of course. I'm watching financial conditions. It's important that we see stabilization in inflation expectations. It's important that the dollar weakens. It's important that commodity prices stabilize. It's important that high yield and investment-grade corporate bond spreads steady. So we saw good signs of that over the last couple of days, and that's, of course, this substantial policy support you're getting from the Federal Reserve. I don't think it's necessarily at all clear. The number of cases are still climbing, but certainly a roadmap that investors should be watching as we think about the start of the next cycle.
Does the reason behind the stabilization and some of those indicators that you want, does that matter? For instance, the dollar weakness, I suppose a large part of that we could attribute to the Fed, the swap lines instituted by the Federal Reserve.
Right, absolutely. That was critical. And, you know, the Fed really is all in. I mean, if you were looking, John, you know, just a week ago, inflation expectations were just plunging in this country. And that is a really, really bad outcome. I mean, the Federal Reserve, one of its mandate, of course, is price stability. And they need to do everything they can to prevent the country from getting into a deflationary spiral. Difficult when we're all not engaging in the service sector and economic activity is down substantially. But it's been a good signal over the last few days that, I mean, first, that the Federal Reserve is all in, and they are all in, and that the markets responded a bit to, right, or markets responded meaningfully to it.
Yeah, it did take a crisis for monetary and fiscal policy to finally come at the same time. Is this a working relationship?
Yeah, I think it's a working relationship. You know, I think that policymakers are doing what they need to be doing. I mean, the Fed needs to keep the central nervous system of the economy going, which is credit and liquidity. And the stimulus, although I wouldn't even call it a stimulus on the fiscal side, it's just more of a cushioning of the blow. Get money to small businesses, get money to households, get money into the healthcare system. All of that is important. But what's critical is we need to see the number of new cases fall, and we need to see people back engaging in the economy. So what the Fed is doing and what Congress has done is all about kind of bridging us to a point where economic activity can resume. None of us know precisely when that's going to be, but when we think, John, that even a week ago we didn't have all of these policy measures in place, maybe 10 days ago, we've come a long way.
We're lucky to have the Atlanta Fed president, the Dallas Fed president coming up on the program in the 9 o'clock hour. What would you like to hear from them?
Well, I mean, I should say
8 o'clock hour.
I want to hear much of the same that we have been hearing, that they're all in, that the markets are functioning, that the credit markets have improved since they've become more active, and that they stand ready to provide whatever support is needed to prevent this from turning into a significant demand shock, into a global financial crisis, and that's critical. And we've been hearing it all along. We've been hearing it from former Fed chairs like Bernanke and Yellen. We've been hearing it from existing Fed governors, and that's going to continue to be the message.
Just a real quick 30 seconds. This is a forward pricing mechanism, Marcus. Without the E for earnings, can investors have any degree of solace with the P?
Well, I mean, obviously, we're going to have to – a lot of the data we're going to be getting in the next month is going to be ultimately worthless. You're asking the trillion-dollar question. Equities are going to look to bottom. It's going to be difficult to do that until we know when the cases are slowing, until we know when economic activity is going to resume. So bottoming is going to be a process. I don't think the last 3 days should give us comfort that this is all over. It's going to take time. The good news is policy support is here. Now we've got to be watching the number of cases.
Brian, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Brian Levitt, absolutely, investment strategist at Invesco Advisors, joining us this morning. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
What may be the first federal fraud case involving the coronavirus has led to the arrest of a California man. The suspect is accused of soliciting investors for a false patent-pending virus cure. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state is preoccupied with the coronavirus. Lawmakers are not likely to deal with gig worker rights in the current legislative session. And Uber beat an antitrust suit in San Francisco federal court. The suit accused Uber of dominating the market, using a venture capital war chest, and undercutting taxi prices.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now in other legal developments, limits on who has what emergency powers are being tested by the coronavirus outbreak. States are ordering residents to stay home as President Trump mulls lifting some precautions. For more on the power struggle between the White House and the State House, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks with University of Texas law professor Stephen Vladek.
Governors can order people to stay at home and businesses to close. But is there a limit to how they can enforce those orders?
I mean, it really varies state to state, June. The short answer is the limits on governors in those circumstances are just the line past which they're crossing into an invasion of our own civil liberties. But, you know, states and local governments have a general police power that can regulate, you know, the regular sort of conduct of our daily lives. So if there's a strong enough justification for these shelter at home and shelter in place orders, and if they're not violating our individual rights, then they're generally permissible, especially in a public health crisis like this one.
The president has suggested he has the power to order people back to work. Suppose that conflicts with a governor's stay-at-home order. Who wins? Can he override a governor's stay-at-home order?
I mean, the short answer is no. The federal government does not have the same kind of general regulatory police powers that local and state governments have. And so, you know, whatever the president might wish, he can't just snap his fingers and order schools to reopen and order private businesses to, you know, go back to where we were a month ago. You know, there are sort of more subtle things the president can do, some of which I think are pretty punitive, some of which I think are more sort of leading by persuasion. But, you know, the actual authority here is principally at the local and state levels, and it's really up to our mayors and our governors to make those decisions for us.
Suppose the president ordered businesses deemed essential to get back to business. Could he do that?
I mean, I really don't think so. The federal government's power over business really is only through the lens of Congress's power to regulate interstate commerce. And there really is no statute that exists right now that would authorize the president, as a matter of statutory interpretation, to issue that kind of an order. I think Congress maybe could pass some kind of statute that affected those businesses that are part of interstate commerce. But, you know, I don't think that that's likely anytime soon from this Congress or really from any other Congress.
And that's University of Texas law professor Stephen Vladek speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 55 points, Dow futures down 465, and NASDAQ futures down 155. 10-year Treasury up 26 32nds, yield 0.76%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.26%. The euro at 1.1007 against the dollar. The British pound, 1.2217. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.